Okay. All right, if we can get started, please. We'll get started. Right, our sound system is not here right now, as you can see, so I'm working with the original one that Hashem gave me. And by this time of the day, it's usually a little bit hard for me, so if it's possible to sit up in front, I know boys will be boys. We have to ask them to come to the front of the class, please, just to make it a little easier. So as much as possible, if you can come closer, I'd appreciate it. It's a personal toivim. It's not... There's no tests. Aside from the ones that Hashem gives you. At Baruch Hashem, different times of the year, bring us into different relationships with Hashem. And it's time for us to get into the mood of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a big thing. The Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, to try to get into that, in that place. Now that we don't have a Mishkan, now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, to understand what they mean, what they meant, what our avodah is now, to connect. And we have the luxury of an extra month of Adar to concentrate on these inyanim, to try to understand what Hashem's telling us now at this time of the year, at this point in our lives. So regarding the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, Kianan Hashem al HaMishkan. There was a cloud of Hashem that was upon the Mishkan. Yomam, during the day. The cloud was there during the day. Ve'esh tiyeh laila bo. And there was a fire. There was a fire at night. La'enei kol beis Yisrael. The Chol Masa'ayim. And the cloud that was there during the day in the fire of the night was seen by the Jewish people. La'ayne Kol Beis Yisrael, that was took, the cloud and the fire was present before the eyes of the whole Jewish people. As they travel through the desert. The Torah says, and we find by the Beis HaMikdash in the first book of Malachim, that regarding the Beis HaMikdash, regarding the temple in Yerushalayim that was built by Shlomo HaMelech, so the Novi says, Vayihi b'tzeis ha-kohanim in ha-kodesh, and it was when the kohanim would leave the kodesh, V'ha'anan molei is Beis Hashem. The cloud of Hashem filled the house of Hashem. It was inside. V'le'ochla kahanim lamad l'sharas v'vnei ha'anan, and the kahanim couldn't stand anymore there. They weren't able to stay there anymore because of the cloud of Hashem's glory that filled the Mikdash. Ki molei kved Hashem is Beis Hashem, because the glory of Hashem was filling the house of Hashem. So you see, that there are two differences. Even though we know that the Mishkan is called the Mikdash, in this week's parasha, V'osi l'Mikdash, so the Mishkan, the temporary dwelling place, the tabernacle, is also referred to as a Mikdash. Nevertheless, we see that there are some very clear differences aside from the structure and so on. From what we just read regarding this one specific thing, which is what I want to focus on, we see that in the Mishkan, there was an anan, a cloud during the day, and there was a mara'esh balayla, and there was a pillar of fire. There was a fire at the night. And the fire of the night is what indicated the presence of the Shekhinah. The cloud during the day by the Mishkan, and the fire during the night. By the Beis HaMikdash, we don't see any indication of a fire. There were fires burning, of course, in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're not talking about, what was cooking. We're talking about the fire of Hashem's presence. We don't see in the Beis HaMikdash, we see only cloud, not fire. There's no indication of any fire that was by the Beis HaMikdash Balayla, during the night. Secondly, regarding the Mishkan, we see that the Torah tells us that the Anan and the Esh, the cloud and the fire, were Al HaMishkan, were above the Mishkan. Plain view and plain sight of anybody, that all Bnei Yisrael were able to see, because they were, the cloud and the fire were hovering above the Mishkan. Whereas by the Beis HaMikdash, you noticed when the Pasuk, when I read the Pasuk to you a moment ago, you noticed that regarding the Beis HaMikdash, the Novi says that the Anan, the cloud, filled the Beis HaShem, was in the inside of the Beis HaShem. It was on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk emphasizes it. Molei is Beis HaShem, it was inside the Beis HaShem. So we don't see a manifestation of the Shekhinah hovering above the Beis HaMikdash. By the Beis HaMikdash, we see the manifestation of Shekhinah within. Whereas by the Mishkan, we see that there was a manifestation, the presence of the Shekhinah that was indicated, hovering above, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, for the eyes of the entire Jewish people. So I was wondering about this. So we have to try to understand on our level that difference in the kuda that separates, that distinguishes between the Mishkan and the Mikdash. And why did Hashem do it in such a way? And what does this mean for our avodas Hashem now? So let's begin. The Medrash at the beginning of the parasha. Really, you should try to take a look at the Medrash. The Medrash Rab at the beginning of the parasha. Not the very beginning. First, turn the page. It depends which edition you have. It's very, very near the beginning of the Medrash. It goes on the first pasuk of Yikol Yitrum. So the Medrash says, Yikol Yitrum, V'chulu, until it says V'also Limikdash, of course, the beginning of the parasha, the donations that are being made towards the construction of the Mishkan, the different things that were necessary in the Mishkan, until the formal proclamation is made, the V'also Limikdash V'shachanti B'soich. So the Medrash says on this, Ani Yishena V'li Bi'er. The Medrash brings a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. And the Medrash says, Ani Yishena V'li Bi'er. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. And the Medrash explains this to mean, Omra Knesset Yisrael, that the Jewish people were saying to Hashem, as you know that the book of Shir HaShirim is really the relationship, it's the description of the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem, particularly as we left Mitzrayim, we crossed through the sea, we received the Torah, we built the Mishkan, and the difficulties that we had in the desert as well. So Knes Amra Knesset Yisrael, so the Jewish people are speaking now after the Chet Ha'egel, after the sin of the golden calf. Omer Knesset Yisrael, Ani Yashanti Li Min HaKeitz. Ani Yashanti Li Min HaKeitz means, I have fallen asleep in despair. I have given up hope on there ever being a redemption, Mashiach, on there ever being a happy ending to the story. Ani Yashanti Min HaKeitz. Ella HaKadosh Baruch Hu Er. Even though I have fallen into despair, meaning that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and Hashem had done so many miraculous things for us, and He gave us the Torah, and the Torah was the great chasna, was the great wedding, it was the most amazing thing that ever happened. And then the Jewish people failed, we fell into the problem of the of the golden calf of the Chet HaEgel. You know that the parashas are not written in chronological order, as you all know. And we fell into the problem of the Chet HaEgel, of the sin of the golden calf. So the Jewish people gave up hope. Ani yeshena, I am asleep, means I might as well just go hibernate, sleeping is, we've spoken very often that extensive sleep is a mild form of suicide. For people who sleep extraordinary amounts of time, it's just another less violent way of killing oneself. It's a way of not being part of the world, of removing oneself from the realm of human activity. So those who sleep until 2-3 in the afternoon, unless there's some sort of a physiological, biological disorder, it's generally an indication of some level of suicide. So when the Jewish people, I am asleep, meaning that I've given up hope, I don't want to live. I want to go to sleep. Hashem is called the heart of the Jewish people. The Pasuk says that Hashem is called the heart of the Jewish people. So even though I have fallen asleep in despair because look what I did. Hashem did all these wonderful things for the Jewish people, and then the Jewish people are crying gewalt, and then we went and we worshipped the golden calf. Nevertheless, even though I've given up hope on myself, v'li be'er, my heart is awake, that means that Hashem is awake. Hashem still has hope in me. Hashem hasn't given up. Ani yesheinu, the Medrash goes on with some other details and then says, Ani yesheinu mimayisei ha'egel. Now they say specifically, I have fallen asleep. I have fallen into a state of sleepfulness, despair. Mimayisei ha'egel. Because of my sin of worshipping the golden calf. The Jewish people are speaking as a whole. V'li be'er, but my heart is still awake. There's still a spark of hope inside the heart of the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Martik Alai. Hashem is knocking upon my heart. The Yikuli Truma. That after the Jewish people botched up with the Chet HaEgel, and we thought that Hashem hated us, and Hashem would never have anything to do with us, Davki, after the Chet HaEgel, what does Hashem tell us to do? He says, Kindelach, gather together let's get some money together, let's get some gold and silver and copper, and I want you to build a Mishkan. I want you to build a place for me. So we couldn't believe it. Even though we had fallen asleep, even though we were out of it, even though we felt, forget it, Hashem doesn't have anything to do with us. Hashem says, Ani er. Believe be er. My heart, Hashem, was awake, and He gave us the mitzvah to build the Mishkan. V'osu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Build for me a place of holiness and I will dwell there. And the pasuk goes on in Shir HaShirim. That's the meaning of kol dodi dofek. The voice of my beloved is knocking. That means that when we went to sleep in despair, Hashem began to knock on our hearts and say, get up, kindelach, children, get up. I want a mishkan, I want a mikdash. Pitchi liachoti rayosti, the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim. Pitchi liachoti rayati. Hashem says, my beloved companion, my friend, open up for me, make for me a place. How long do you want me to wander around the universe without a house? It's all psukim right there in Shir HaShirim. Shiroishi nimlatal. Hashem says that my hair is dripping with the dew of the night. I'm left outside, I have no place to go. Ela asuli migdash. Shalo eheyeh b'chutz. So here the Jewish people thought that Hashem is saying, get out of here, get lost. I don't want to hear from you again. And we wanted to go to sleep. But our hearts were awake with that knocking of Hashem's voice saying, Adirabba, just the opposite. How long do you think I can go on, Hashem says, being away from you, being apart from you? How long can I walk around in the universe without a home? So Hashem told us in the aftermath of the sin of the Egel, Pischi li'achoisi rayosi, make for me a mikdash. And that's the mitzvah of the Mishkan that comes after the kapara of Yom Kippurim, correct? Sedinim Sukkis. But one thing is clear. That this Medrash and others like it are teaching us that the Mishkan was primarily coming as a way to correct the problem of the Chet HaEgel. That's clear. That is coming to fix, to repair the damage that took place with the sin of the golden calf. You can't argue, that's the Medrash. Ani Yesheinu V'li Bi'er. Ani Yesheinu M'Maisa HaEgel V'li Bi'er. Kol Doidi Doifek. Hashem is telling me, build a Mishkan, because you have fallen into the Chet HaEgel, I want you to get up and build a Mishkan. So the Mishkan is the medicine. So let's understand the sickness. Let's understand what the problem is. So you know that to be a Jew means to believe in the 13 principles of our faith. And one of them has even been made into a song. It happens to be a nice song, or else I'd be more cynical about it. Ani ma'amin b'emunah shleima, I believe with complete faith, shahabora yizbarach shemo, that the Creator, may His name be blessed, hu borei u'manhig l'chol abruim. You know the song? Hu borei u'manhig l'chol abruim. He is the Creator, and He creates, and He guides, directs, l'chol abruim, all creation, who bore a manig l'kol abruim, v'hu levado, and Hashem alone, osa v'oisa v'yase l'kol amas. Hashem alone did, does, and will do all that takes place in this world. Osa oisa v'yase l'kol amas. So we hear from this, but to be a Jew means to believe that Hashem is not only the Creator, but to believe that Hashem is the Manhig. Borei u'manhig. Creator and Manhig. He directs and guides and leads the world. Also, Isa v'yasal kol ha'masim. Not just the Creator. So, this was the mistake. This is what happened. Let's understand what happened by the Chet HaEgel, by the sin of the calf. What happened, the Maisa? What was the mistake? Kosof Kosof, it was a mistake. It was a costly mistake, but it was a mistake. The Jewish people said by the Maisa HaEgel, by the golden calf, the shocking sentence, It's almost impossible to believe that people who had experienced what they experienced would even say such a thing, could think such a thing, let alone say such a thing. Therefore, one has to study this and understand on a deep level. It's not stam. Like when we read the Chumash, we're all thinking, I can't believe they did that. I would have never have done that. So what happened? They said, Eila Elohecha Yisrael. This is the God of Israel. They said it about the statue. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. Asher Halukim Eretz Mitzrayim. This is the God that took you out, that took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. A statue. The main problem with our belief is not whether or not God created the world. I'm sure that by a show of hands, which I will not ask for, that most of us, I'm sure every one of us, can live comfortably and safely with the idea that 5,757 years ago, Hashem brought the universe into creation. That shouldn't bother anyone. I mean, unless there's still some old-fashioned people that are worried about dinosaurs and that lose sleep over evolution. But I think that everybody can deal safely and comfortably with the belief that Hashem is the Creator. It's the fact that he's a manhig that causes us to be uncomfortable in this world. You understand? What that means, by Har Sinai, the Jewish people saw clearly there's a boire. Not to Harais Ladas. They saw that there's a creator of the world. And then they saw there's a creator. And they saw the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Rabbi Shalom They saw that their Baruch Shalom was involved in the world. He created the world. He's a Borei. He's a Manhig. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He changes the world. The laws of nature are meaningless before Hashem. Everybody saw that. But by Hanhoga, there was a problem. You see, when Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, and the alarm rang that he had been gone too long, by their estimation. By their estimation, he was gone too long. So the Pasuk said, they said, Zeh ha'ish Moshe lo yodanu mahayilo. The man Moshe, we don't know what became of him. Because, whereas they believed that God created the universe, and he's the creator, they hadn't yet come to terms, just as you and I don't always come to terms, with the belief that not only is he the Borei, not only did he create the world, but he mamish is involved in every single thing. He doesn't need a Moshe Rabbeinu. When they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, in their minds, they understood not that God was no longer a God, not that God no longer existed, but they understood that the, what's called in the Lashon of Chazal, the Sirus or the Sarus, which means the agent of Hashem is gone. The one who communicates God's will to us and our will to Him. Because as all people believe and all human beings struggle with, Hashem is so great, He's so awesome, He's so powerful. Moshe Rabbeinu, alright, He handles for us, Moshe Rabbeinu, but without Him we have to appoint somebody else, or something else, that through that thing, the Shefa, the Bracha, the power and the energy of Hashem, can find a place in this lowly world. And you know, it's not uncommon for people to idolize Rebbes and Tzaddikim more than they idolize Hashem. And that's already in a good way. At least somebody's idolizing a Tzaddik. In a negative way. When there are people who idolize people who are not worthy of any form of, even of adulation, let alone idolization. Not even admiration. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a very fine person to choose. The problem is that he's gone. And in the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're stuck in a crazy situation. We have a creator, but the creator's way beyond our understanding, way beyond our level. He's not connecting to us, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the connection. So in their ancient minds, in their ancient ways, they needed something through which the Shefa could, through which the energy, through which blessing, through which Hashem's light could pour. Why it was the image of the ox, that's a very deep Indian. It has to do with the Maaseh Merkava, it has to do with the image of the chariot of Hashem, the face of the ox upon the chariot, as the Mefarshim says, Chazal say, it's a big thing. That's not important for now. The same way that Moshe Rabbeinu took us out of Mitzrayim, we need something else to take care of us on behalf of Hashem in this world. So, Bekitzer, I think this is obvious to everybody, so I don't want to belabor this point anymore. Ani mamim b'emunah shleima, to believe in complete faith that Hashem is the Borei u'manhig, the sin of the golden calf man. I can accept Hashem as being the creator, and He's capable of all kinds of amazing stuff, but I'm not on a level where I can have access to that directly. I need something to mediate between man and God. I need some power to absorb the energy from heaven and then to transfer it over to this lowly, miserable world. So the problem is not Hashem as creator. The problem is that they had by the Chet Egel is Hashem as a manhig, as the one who is intimately involved in every single thing that's happening in this world in your life. Musa Hashem says, after the Chet Ha'egel. So we're hiding, everybody's hiding under his blankets, and we say, boy, we really messed up, and we're hiding. Everybody's falling asleep in despair. And then Hashem makes this unbelievable offer. He challenges the Jewish people. He says, I don't want to be. Hashem says, I don't want to be outside your lives. I am not outside your lives. And I don't want to be that way. So many times there's a distance between parents and children, between teachers and students. And sometimes, you know, the parents and the children are both to blame, and the students and the teachers and the students are to blame. Why is it that they remain perpetually outside each other's lives? And each one wants to enter supposedly into the other one's life. So Hashem tells us, after this terrible failure, to feel Him in our lives, to feel Him as a manhig who's with us down here in the earth, not just out there in Shemayim as the Creator. But as Hashem was with us right here, so Hashem calls out, Kolda dido fake, Pischili achaisi rayosi, open up for me a place, make for me a mishkan. Shalo emoid bachutz, I don't want to be outside anymore in the night, my hair is dripping with the dew of the night. It's deep in yonim. But what Hashem is telling us on a very simple level means, I don't want any more to be outside of your life. I don't want to be some distant theological concept. I want to be in your life. I want you, I am here. I'm offering myself. I want you to let me in. So we thought Hashem's going to give us a smack and say, get lost. And instead Hashem says, no, I know why you made a mistake, children. You made a mistake because you think of me as some distant authoritarian, you know, some distant ruler out there in the universe or creator. You didn't think of me as someone that loves you. So I'm making this offer, Piskali Achaisi Rayasi, let me come into your lives. Let me come into your home. Build for me a mishkan. And Hashem is telling us, Adarabba, the Ikar HaShechina, the purpose of creation is that the Shechina should dwell in this world. Is that the Shechina, the Divine Presence, should be a part of our lives. That's the Tachlis of the Bria. It's not the act of creation that's the Tachlis. It's the Anhoga that's the Tachlis. Hashem is a Borei Umanik. The Bria is only Hechatimsa. Creating the world is only a means of coming to the Tachlis, which is what? The Anhoga. Being involved in the world. Just like when parents have a child. So a parent has a child, that's a tachlis, is having the child. The child is born. Gendig. Of course not. The tachlis of having the child is to relate to the child. Is to be a part of the child's life. So Hashem says, Asuli mikdash loy e yebachutz. Give me an opportunity to come into your lives. I shouldn't have to be outside. Therefore, it seems that by the Mishkan, what was absolutely necessary to repair, since the Mishkan is coming to correct the damage of the Chet Egel, that the Mishkan is coming to set straight the distortion of the Chet Egel, therefore it is necessary that the cloud of Hashem hover upon the Mishkan in open view and open sight of every single Jewish person. Because in their minds, the Anan Hashem meant Hashem's presence in this world. So by the Mishkan it says, V'anan Hashem al HaMishkan Yoimam, that the cloud of Hashem was upon, was hovering above. V'esh Tiyah Bo Laila, we'll talk about that in a moment, and the fire that was there by the night above. And the Torah says, why? La'enei kol Yisrael. For the eyes of every Jew. La'ene kol Yisrael. That every little Yidila somewhere, some little Shlepa somewhere in the back, you know, all the way in the back of the Machne Dun. Some Yidila somewhere says, well, maybe the Baruch Shalom has a Shaykhus to the Levium, to the Kahanim. So every Jew would look up. Every Jew. Including that little Yidila in the back somewhere. He would look up and he would see the Anan Hashem by the day and the fire of the Eish by night. And he would know that there's no such thing that Hashem is separated or detached. There's no such thing. Because that's what happened by the Chet Egel, that the little Yidla and all the Jewish people fell into that smallness to think now, well, he's not here. We're waiting for somebody to take Moshe Rabbeinu's place. We must have something in between. So Hashem says, no, there's nothing, it's just me. And the Anan, the cloud, descends and it hovers above La'enei kol Yisrael. And the Eish, La'enei kol Yisrael, before the eyes of all Jews. But now here we understand why is it that by the Mishkan Davke there was a fire of the night. The desert, we know from the Svarma Kedoshim, and the Zohar talks about this at length. The desert means Hestepanim. The desert means a place, how should we say, a place of nightfulness. A dark place. A place of tumah, of klipas, of impurity. It's a place that's described in the Nevi'im and in Tehillim, a place of wild beasts, a place of danger and of death that awaits in every, that awaits everywhere. That's the Midbar. So sometimes a person feels, when a person's going through a Midbar time of life, nobody should know from it. But when a Jewish person goes through a time of life that's a Midbar time, where it seems to you that the koiches of Ra, the koiches of evil, and the koiches of ugliness and darkness, and the Midbar-like, the desert-like koiches of impurity have taken over your life, and Hashem is so concealed and so hidden. When you feel as desolate as a desert, and as empty of godliness as a desert, and as distant from Hashem, that's when a person is most likely to begin to think that maybe there's something else that runs his life. Maybe there's another way that he has to live. Maybe it's not Hashem. Maybe there's something, there's another way to exist, but it's not Hashem. Because I don't see that I'm matzlich with Hashem. During a Midbar time, when a person is going through a time of personal desolation, there's more of a likelihood, God forbid, of falling into terrible, terrible sorrows and terrible despair and throwing away Yiddishkeit. Chalila, throwing away Hashem, losing one's emunah. Because it doesn't seem to be a relationship between your personal hatzlocha, a lack of hatzlocha, and the presence of Hashem in your life, or the absence of Hashem from your life. Other rabbi, you look around, you see, all your friends who are not religious are doing better. And you, the religious one, you're the one that's trying to be a real Jew, you live in a desert. Imamish have no hatzlocha. So during that time, you can make a chet to egel mistake. You're more vulnerable. You're more vulnerable to a chet ha'egel kind of mistake during the night. There's a famous writer, I once mentioned this years ago, and it pains me to repeat it, but it made such an impression upon me. It literally shook me mamish to the core. There's a famous Jewish writer, Baruch Hashem is now observant of mitzvahs. There's a famous Jewish writer who wrote a great deal about the Holocaust in a very sensitive and deep way. And he describes a scene where there was a young boy was caught smuggling food back and forth, you know, into the ghetto. And the Germans wanted to make an example of him. And the little boy was taken in front of all the Jews were obligated to come and to witness the public execution of the little boy. And in this story, that if it didn't happen, certainly it did happen. It might not have happened before the eyes of the author, but it certainly did happen. So as the child was hanging, and the law was that any Jew that would turn away or refuse to look at this child dangling would be shot. So there was a religious Jew there. There was a person who was obviously a very religious by his dress and by his appearance was very religious. And one Jew leaned over to him and said, "So tell me, where is God now? So where is God now?" Every person goes through those Midbar-like times, not in such an extreme, horrible way, Hashem Yishmeren. Not in such a way. But I've heard people who have lost $100 ask me, "Where is God now?" I had actually once a student who, please forgive me, I don't mean to sound facetious, because it's an important thing to feel good about yourself, but there was once a student who was losing faith in Hashem because her nose job didn't work out. It's a true story. Because, and I'm not making fun of it. Because at that time in your life, if what you want is taken from you, you feel like you're in a desert, even though you're living mamish in a palace. But if that's what you want and it was taken from you, how many times a person, the people that they're going out and they're madly in love and it's beautiful, we're going to get married and live happily ever after, the next day you get a phone call, the magic phone call. And you ask, but I thought yesterday you said we're going to live happily ever after. So it seems that happily ever was finished. It's after. Maybe that's what it means, I don't know. Happily ever was yesterday, after is today. So you have a good kasha. What happened? And the person doesn't even have time to talk to you on the phone. You hear somebody else there in the room saying, are we going now? Let's go. So you say, what's going on? Yesterday we were ready to get married, and today, it's a midbar. And when you feel the midbar, it doesn't make a difference. You have 1,000 friends and loving parents and you have a good life. It doesn't make a difference. When you're in choshech, when it's dark, when you're in a midbar, you could fall into the chet egel. And the chet egel doesn't mean you take out a little tzeilimel. It doesn't mean you take out a little avodah zarah and you hang it up. We don't have that anymore. So it's a different chet egel. So what does it mean? So it means you begin to indulge in things. You indulge in things. Hashem doesn't run my life, because if Hashem was running my life, then it wouldn't be ever after. So must be there's something else running my life. I don't know what it is, but in the meantime, I might as well catch up with my party. The world is filled with tainas. Who doesn't have a taina? That's the mistake of the egel. It's still with us. Therefore, in the Mishkan Davka, because the Mishkan was coming to repair the damage of the egel, therefore in the Mishkan Davka, there's Namud Ha'esh, there's a pillar of fire at night, hovering above the Mishkan. Hashem doesn't remove himself, not during the day, not even during the night. Adrabba, during those nights, and during the desert times of our lives, Hashem is Baruch is Mamish with us. More than any other time. There's a great poet that, I'm not in the mood to go into the, to recite this poem to you and to mention his name, but there was a very, very great American poet who spoke about a person gazing upon the emptiness of the universe, realizing that I have my own desert places. I don't know if any of you are bekeim in American literature. I'm certainly not. It's the one poem that I know. But I have my own desert places. Right inside here, they're my desert places. You don't have to go to the Sahara, to the Mojave. Right inside here is a desert place. And after the Chet Egel, we needed so much caring and so many reminders. No. I'm not outside of your lives. And therefore the fire was at night. At night that means concealment, at night that means fear, that means the desert at night, the terror of a world that seems, God forbid, to be godless. That's the Mishkan. And here's the difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech, the time of Shlomo HaMelech is described by Chazal as the Sihara by Shlomisa, which means that during the time of Shlomo HaMelech was always a full moon. There was never a time. Shlomo means Shalom. Shlomo means Shleimus. There was never a time when the Jewish people had as much clarity. There was never a time where there was such peace and such Shleimus. The time of the building of the first Beis HaMikdash was a time that didn't have a night. It didn't have a night. That means that even during the night, the moon was full always. It was always shining. There was a night. Of course it was night, but it wasn't the emes at night. It was a time of the Jewish people that were waiting to see back, and the Mashiach was a time of the Jewish people that was nightless. It was behirus, clarity. Look, mimele, you understand that by the Beis HaMikdash, since in general the rule is that Hashem lives in this world in a very tzniyazdik way, you and I have not bumped into Hashem in any street corner, right? in an open, revealed way. I mean, in a concealed way, we bump into him every single molecule. So Hashem prefers to be in its niyazdik way. That's the way this world is supposed to be. But after the Mishka, after the Chet Egel, we needed a lot of love and a lot of care. But by the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem retreated into His holy place. And therefore, by the Beis HaMikdash, the cloud of Hashem's presence was no longer visible to the Jewish people as a whole. Instead, it filled the inside of the Mikdash. In that sneezed, quiet and hidden place. And all the Jews, wherever they were, knew that it's there. They believed that it's there. They had that clarity of the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the first Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to a desert, it's a big thing. The Mishkan was in the Midbar. Desolation and evil. The Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim. The Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, is during a time when Nevuah was shining, prophecy was shining. The Jewish people felt always Hashem's presence through the Nevi'im. But there was something else that was missing in our lives then. And the Beis HaMikdash came to give us this which was missing. Now please listen to understand, this is not as simple in you now. The Beis HaMikdash, something else was provided for us. Although it's true that during the Beis HaMikdash, everybody knew that Hashem created the world and Hashem was the Manik. Everybody knew that Hashem is the Borei Umanik. So the problem of the Chet Egel has been corrected. Hashem is the creator, and He is also the director of all of the things that take place. Also, Oisiv Yasal Kolamasa. Hashem did and does and will do. Hashem's in charge. Everybody knew that. So it's no longer necessary to have clouds and fires and stuff hovering above the Beis HaMikdash for all the Jews everywhere in the world to see. We say that. We know that. We believe it. We know it. Be'emunah Shleimah. So what was missing? So the way to know what was missing was by understanding what was provided. Because if you understand what was provided, it means Hashem provided what was missing. So Chazal say, B'shoash Yisrael hayu oilem l'regel. When Jews would go up on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot to the Beis HaMikdash, when they go Ali l'regel, for the mitzvah of Ali l'regel, so Chazal say that when they would go up to the Beis HaMikdash, Hayu Goylu Limes HaParoiches. It's an astounding thing. They would pull aside the curtain of the Kodesh Kadoshim. The curtain was pulled aside of the Holy of Holies. Umarim Lahem Kruvim Ma'urim Zevazeh. And they would show all the Yidden, all the Jews that came up to Yerushalayim, they would show them the Kruvim that were embracing each other, the angelic images above the Oren. They were hugging each other. And they would tell all the Jews that had assembled for the regal, they would tell them, Re'uchi batchem l'shnei habakim. Re'uchi batchem l'shnei habakim. Look how Hashem adores you. Re'uchi batchem l'shnei habakim. Look how Hashem loves you. You see, this is different Madrega in Amunah. There's a Madrega in Amunah that says that Hashem is the creator. And there's a Madrega at the level of Amunah that says that Hashem is in charge of everything and He's not out there. He's down here. He takes care of everything. You don't need an angel. You don't need anything. And if you believe in that, then you fulfill the fundamental principle of the principle of faith that there's a Borei and a Mani. But that's what it means to be a Jew. That's not all that it means. It's still very cold. There's something else. There's another Madrega. The third Madrega of Emunah is not just that God created the world, or you, and not just that God is responsible, is in charge of whether you, whether you made the money, you didn't make the money, whether you found the house in the college, that's not all.
I'm afraid to even tell you this. There's a statement that's in the Shari Oira from one of the great Mekubalim. The Shari Oira. When it says this picture of the parochah is being pulled aside to show the Kerubim hugging each other. I'm going to say this in a very sneezy way. Is compared to the king who's pulling off the sleeve of his arm to show the beauty between the chasen and kala to expose something of his physical beauty. No. What a person's allowed to say in public. But that's what it says in the Shari Oira. Here we're not talking about that Hashem is a Bari Amani. Avada, he's a Bari Amani. We're past that. The Beit HaMikdash was a call to the Jewish people to believe in Hashem's absolute, unconditional love. Re'uchi Batkin L'Fayamok. Look how much Hashem loves you. The crew of Mamahurim said that they're embracing each other. Not just that I share a house with you. I love you. Not just that I'm in the world, I'm involved in the mitzvah of this world. I mamish adore you. I mean, maybe that's why we have a difference of opinion between the Rishonim. It's already, it goes in the Gemara, really, to Sugim of Rabbaz from that Tzadi Pez. And what do the Kruvim look like? What do they look like, the Kruvim? So if you look there in the Sugya and the explanation of the Rashbam, it's like the image of a Zohar in the cave. Of a zocher and a kaver, of a male and a female, a chosen and a kala. The kruvim were like a chosen and kala. The other pshat in the Gemara, as it's explained, also you see that from Muklas Ager, Maite tatsuim kemotino keravia, that they were like little children, like babies, like children. One opinion says that the Kruvim, the two angels above the Aron, were embracing and facing each other. They had the faces of a Chosna Kala who loved each other. That's the Jewish people in Knesset Yisrael. An Ish and an Isha, a Chosna Kala. The other opinion says that Kruvim is Meloshim Keravya. And Unklus Hager says, well, Keravya means childlike. And Unklus Hager says, Maisit Tatsuiv. Kemotino, did it look like a doll? Like a child. They look like children. What do the two opinions mean? What's Hashem coming in the Beit HaMikdash? In the first Beit HaMikdash to teach every one of us? What was He teaching us during the first Beit HaMikdash? If you say that there's Zoch in the Keva, these are not contradicting each other. But Zoch in the cave, a male and female. Means that, as we've spoken about many times in the past, Hashem calls us throughout the entire book of Shir Hashir, Machoisi, Tamosi, Rayosi, my sister, my beloved, my Kala. There's a certain, with the Chosna Kala, it means as if Kiviyokal, the Jewish people and Hashem are equal. Kiviyokal. A Chosna Kala. I need you and you need me. We need each other. Yisroel mefarnes in lavim shem shemayim. We spoke about that at length. That the Jewish people, kiviyokel, provided parnosa for Hashem. And we spoke about this way back last year when Hashem says, ra'ayosi, that the word ra'ayosi, which means my beloved companion, my friend, also comes from the word, chazal say, from the word roeh, which means what? The one who takes care of me. My shepherd, that the Jewish people are like a wife to take care of a husband. Almost like equals to Yahweh. When Hashem calls us as equals to Amazi, my twin. The Kavlan Dain me Dain. I have what to give you, the Jewish people say. The Kavlan says to the Chosna, the Chosna says, and I have what to give you. And we have this wonderful relationship where we share these things in time. That's according to the opinion says that the Kruvim look like a Chosna and Kavlan, like a Zoch in a cave, a male and female. And according to the opinion says that they look like children. The meaning of that is that there's another relationship that Hashem was infusing into us. That Hashem was reminding us of for the Kruvim by the first base of Mikdash. Bonim Atam L'Hashem Elokei, you're my children. You're so helpless without me. I'm going to take care of you. You're my children. And they look like children. Kinai Yisrael Vahevo. The Jewish people are called Hashem's little child. Haben Yakeli Ephraim and Yelet Shashuim. Haben Yakeli Ephraim, my precious child Ephraim. And here the point is not that we are equals that give to each other and adore each other. Here the point is that Hashem is telling the Jewish people during the Beit HaMikdash, not only do I create, not only do I control, I want to tell you, I love you like a cosmos of the Kala, in that way of equals that we give each other, and you give to me so much, Hashem says, you know, we give to each other. But there's another Madrega. The other Madrega was, I have so much Nachas Ruach. I have such unbelievable Nachas Ruach. That even when a child is babbling, even if a chosn kala, if a chosn finds his kala babbling, it's not good. If a kala finds a chosn talking narish guy, it's not a good sign. But when you see a child babbling, it's wonderful. I mean, not actually at the age of 17 or 18. But a child is every little thing is the most delicious thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, a chosn and kala, or a chosn and kala. I'm not only a bari aman. You're my kala. And at the same time you're my kala, you're my charm. And I delight in you, and every little thing that you do, I find so cute and adorable. Other people wouldn't understand. When parents are sitting next to the little child and playing with the child, saying, oh, isn't that cute? People look like, you know. You know how it is when people start taking out their pictures, Hashem, you're out. Hashem has spared me from such nonsense, thank God. Because I remember how painful it was for me to have to go through all of those things. Not that I don't share in the symptoms of other Jews, but you know when you get it like that. When you get stuck in one of these situations, I don't have to tell you. Like every single thing about your child's life interests the Pliny Almighty, that's not true. They want that your children should be well. That doesn't mean that you have to point out every dimple or something. But for the parents, it's good. And with my parents, when the grandparents come over, we go through all the dimples. For the parents, for Zadie, for Bobby, you don't have to be embarrassed. But seichel, if you're sitting there with somebody else, even a friend, it's not a shaykhus. Or people to talk about the children's accomplishments for half hour. You say in a minute or two, you don't have to go into whole arichus. But for a parent, the more the better, right? The more the better. When something good would happen in my life, Hashem, there were many times like that. So I would come and tell my father would have me repeat it 3 or 4 times. And he understood the first time. He said, I just enjoy hearing. Say it again. Nope. For other people, it's stomach pain in it. It's boring. But for a father, it's better. For a mother, the more is better. Something good to say about a child. And this we saw with our eyes. This is what we saw with our eyes by the first Beit HaMikdash. We didn't need any more of the cloud and the fire. We believe that Hashem is the Bar Yamani. We have no problem with that. Hashem creates and takes care of the world. We know that. That's fine. We're past that. But now we have a problem. We have a cold relationship with this scary creator and controller. So now Hashem shows our eyes that whoever came up to the Mikdash would see. Ruchi Baskin will say, welcome, the goodness of Parechas, they pull over the curtain, the goodness of Parechas, that the king himself would show how much he loved us. By pulling away the Parechas and showing the Kruvim, the children and the Chosn and Kala. Who could try to imagine what that was like with millions of people in Yerushalayim? Try to imagine. Hashrei Ayin Ra'as Hazaras. And that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. One little Jewish history. Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. That means, even when we had a second Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash, there was no more Aaron. We didn't have the Aaron anymore, we didn't have the Ark. No more Kruvim. No more crew. No more parochas being pulled aside. So what did Hashem show us? What was the second base of Mikdash all about? What was the second base of Mikdash supposed to teach us? The first base of Mikdash was Torah Shavuot, with the time of prophecy. We spoke about it many times. Hashem is telling us, he's speaking to us, he's showing us things. The first base of Mikdash was like one big, unbelievable show and tell. The first base of Mikdash, big show and tell. Nevuah, proven, unbelievable. Hashem, Torah Shavuot, which Hashem is showing us the Torah. When Shlomo Melech says, Vayeshev al Kisei Hashem l'melech, Shlomo Melech went onto the throne, it says, Vayeshev al Kisei Hashem. It doesn't say Kisei Shlomo or Kisei HaMalchus. It says, Vayeshev al Kisei Hashem. It was so clear. The second base of Mikdash is the Malchus of the Jewish people. The first base of Mikdash is the Malchus of Hashem. The Jewish people are spectators, are watching, are amazed, overwhelmed, and touched. But the second base of Mikdash is the Malchus Yisrael. It's the Malchus of the Dal of Ani, of the Jewish people who don't see a Kruvim, who don't see an Aron. It's the base of Mikdash of Evan Masu, Habayinim Haisle Reish Pina, of the Jewish people who feel that Hashem, that the second base of Mikdash, those who came there, as we spoke about some months ago, they were crying when they saw the second base of Mikdash being put up. They were crying because they remembered the first base of Mikdash. The second base of Mikdash was silent. The second base of Mikdash wasn't showing. Because this is the Iker Inyan of the second base of Mikdash. And this is what we're in right now. The emuna that was being, what the madrega that we were being brought to in the second base of Mikdash. Remember, the Mishkan was Borei Umani, a creator and a leader. And the Bayis Rishon is a husband and a father, right? Third base of Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash. Hashem showed nothing. Nothing. No more nevuah, no more prophecy. Torah Shabbat Peh, that's our stuff. We're working on that. No more clouds. No more fires. No more kruvim, no more aron. So what does Hashem want of us? What were we being taught during the second base of Mikdash? Because the lesson is still going on. So how many times, I've told you many, many times, that the Kotsky used to say that the Holy Rebbe, the Oiv Yisrael, used to see the Yushpizna and Sukkot. It's known that the Oiv Yisrael, the Apter Rav, used to see in the Sukkot the guests. He used to see Avraham Avinu Mamish. He used to talk to the Ovis. He used to talk to the Yushpizna. So the Kotsky says, I'm on a higher Madrega. I don't see them at all, but I believe that they're there. It's a bigger Madrega. The second base of Mikdash, it prepares us for Mashiach Zikain. The second base of Mikdash is to believe in Hashem with your eyes closed. To believe in everything without seeing. To see absolutely nothing. The Mishkan was showing us the Eish and the Anan. And the Mikdash was showing us the Kruvim. And the second base of Mikdash was showing us the depths of faith that's within you. Even if you see absolutely nothing, even if you're in the Midbar, and even if you're in the night, and there's no fire, there's no cloud, there's no Kruvim. You can still be an Erlich Yid. You can still be a God-fearing Jew. Yeah, we're not in the Madrega there. We're not in the same Madrega as the earlier years. But we don't see these things anymore. Our Avoida now, the Avoida, is an Avoida of Emunah Tshuta. Of simpler, of Poshita Emunah. That's not simple. That's the hardest thing of all. Was the Holy Rabbi, the Rishna, before he died, said that in the days before Mashiach, if there'll be a Jew, if there will be a Jew who will believe in my, who will believe in me, the Rishna said, who will believe in Hashem before, in those days before Mashiach, then that Jew is as great, and he still keeps Shabbos, and he still open up a Chumash and look a little bit in the Gemara, and he'll still try to get from Hashem Neglevas, so the Rishna said, and say Moidani a little bit. So the Rishna says that in those days, such a Jew will be so great, and he said a few times, so great, you know how great he will be. And then the Rishna took hold of his holy beard and face and said, as great as me. That's not a small thing. So it's mamish dark. There's no ruchi baschem. There's no eish. There's no anan. Einenu l'ka l'ka einen. Our eyes are closed and we try to imagine. That's all we have. Imagination. Emun. This is the biggest avod. And the biggest neshamas were left for the end of time to deal with these things. So Hashem gives us one day of the week where it's easy. It's a day that the whole purpose of this day is just to, it's just for Amunah to become energized, and that's Shabbos, of course. Have Hashem Machakim Divinyan Ariel. Saying there's mirrors of Kol Mekadesh Shri. Ayahave Hashem. Hashem says, those of you who love Hashem, Jews who keep Shabbos in these last years before Mashiach are called, Ayahave Hashem, the lovers of God. Those who love Hashem, Hamachakim Bebinyan Ariel, who are awaiting the building of the third base of Mikdash. What does that have to do with Shabbos? You don't build the base of Mikdash with Shabbos. Ayahave Hashem. It's in the Zemiris, right? Ayahave Hashem, those of you who are lovers of Hashem, Hamachakim Bebinyan Ariel, who are waiting all these years for the building of the third base of Mikdash. On the day of Shabbos, you can rejoice. Like the Jews who receive the gift of Hashem and Harsinai. And Harsinai was after Harsinai, and Harsinai, everything was so unbelievably clear. This, now we're in the second base of Mikdash time, this, everything is dark. But Shabbos is a piece of light in the darkness. Shabbos means, for those who are Havi Hashem, who believe in Him with their eyes closed, and Mechakim Avinyan Ariel, then V'yayim HaShabbos Kodesh Shisu V'Simchu Ke, but the Davke, by the day of Shabbos, Shisu V'Simchu Ke Mekavlei Matan Achliya. You could feel a little bit of the joy, a little bit of the clarity of Bnei Yisrael when they stood at Har Sinai in Sadat Avinish, about their Eish Ladat, Yashem Hulukim. Maybe you understand what the three Sudas on Shabbos is a big Inyan. And here in America, I was screaming about this on Shabbos already a lot. But here in America, when Yishol Lashul, this by many people already became like a... It's an amazing thing. Any other day, people have 12 Sudas. All of a sudden on Shabbos, I can't. I'm full. Because the Baruch Shalom says to have Yishol Lashul, this all of a sudden will be Yotzei with Divrei Torah. Well, there's... Can a person be Yotzei with Divrei Torah? You can't have it. You're supposed to have the Suda Shalishas. Men and women. It's the Siman of Shulchan Aruch. And there's Yetzer Hara not to. Why? Because the Sudas of Shabbos. Askinu Sudasa de Mahaymenusa. The Sudas of Shabbos are called, each Suda is called Sudasa de Mahaymenusa. The meal of Emuna, faith. Shabbos is the Sudas of the Mehemanus. Shlaim is the Chedbis. The Shabbos. Therefore, you have the Suda Friday night. The Suda Friday night means to strengthen your belief, to believe that Hashem is a Bari Emanik. The 6 days of the week, you begin to think that you're the Bari Emanik, or your boss, or whoever. Comes Friday night, the Suda is the Suda of Emuna, that Hashem is the Bari Emanik, the first meal that Hashem creates. It's Friday night. The Suda of belief that Hashem is the Bari Amani. Shabbos day. The Menuchas of Shabbos, the restfulness, the peacefulness of Shabbos, the Suda of Shabbos' day is the Bechina of us, this Anigal Hashem, to delight in Hashem like a chosn with a kal, a kal with a chosn, a child with a parent, us, this Anigal Hashem, Shabbos day. The whole world is running around with Mishagorim and you're delighting with Hashem.
Shalosh Sudas is when the sun is setting. So the first Sudas is the Nin of the Mishkan. And the second Sudas is the Nin of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the third Sudas is the Nin is the Bechina of the Jewish people in the second Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which means the Golus of the second. This Golus that we're in, of the waiting for the third Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Shalosh Sudas takes place and the sun sets. And even though the sun is setting, the Jewish people say, by Shalosh Sudas, sing by Shalosh Sudas. For those who believe in the holiness of a Shulchan Aruch. As Gamki Eilat Begates Al Movis Lo Yerok Yati Imod. Mizmu Lo David Asher Mori Lo Yechzar. Gamki Eilat Begates Al Movis. Even though the sun is setting and I'm going back into the darkness and I see nothing at all, which is the meaning of the last Golas. Lo Yerok, I'm not afraid. Ki Ati Imod. Even though I don't see anything. Shabbos already ending. It's not Friday night. It's not Shabbos afternoon. It's Shalosh Sudas. Sudas Shlishis is Gam Ki Elof Begetz Amov is Leirah Ki Atu Imot. Ki Atu Imot. Hashem, you're still with me. Hashem, you're with me now more than ever. This Minchan Shabbos of Shalosh Sudas is called Raivin the Raivin. It's the holiest time of the holiest time of the week is Minchan Shabbos of Shalosh Sudas. The holiest time. But that's why it's the biggest Yetzar not to have a Shalosh Sudas. And then there's something else after Shabbos, I'm afraid to even talk about. If I talk about Malava Malka means in America dinners. It means fundraising. How many Jews are left here that still believe in Malava Malka? And without Indians of Malava Malka, there's Sudas of the David Malka Mashiach. I spoke about this on Shabbos, and yesterday we were learning in Shul. The Psaltic brings in the Sarum that says, that the word, says Hashem says, Matsasi David Avdi, I found my servant David. Chazal say, Heichen Matsasi, where did Hashem find David? The stump. In stump. Because that's where David was formed. Lot had relations with his daughters, and came out Moab, comes Arus, and David Amalek. So, Bistom, the letter is Bisuda, so David Malka, Mashiach. The Suda of Malava Malka means even a Jew who's in stump. David Amalek's whole work in this world was true. It means that no matter what's happened to you, you could always start again. That's Malava Malka. Even though Shabbos has ended, even though the base of Mikdash is destroyed, even though your life is crushed, there's nothing. David HaMelech wasn't supposed to even live. His 7 years were given to him as a gift. And David HaMelech said, Chai V'Kai! You can live! When everything else is destroyed, you can still live. And you can start again, the thing of David HaMelech. The Sudas of David HaMelech and Mashiach is the easiest bestowed. Even when you feel your mamish in stone. Not just that the lights are out, you don't see, but your mamish bestowed. That's the Indian of Malava Malka. To hold on to Shabbos after Shabbos is finished. To hold on to Emuna is the Indian of Malava Malka. Merely you understand why is it that so few Jews have Malava Malka. If they have, it means that they fresh and they say, oh, that was Malava Malka. What I had before was Malava Malka. But to sit down to have the students of Malava Malka, sing Zmiris, Kovd Elionovi, who never died, Davra Malach, who never dies. So, mainly people going to Sunday feeling dead. Because they've ignored the people who never died. David HaMelech and Leonov. So we have to attach ourselves to the Kedusha of these Shabbases, of these Minchas, especially during the weeks that lead up to Purim. Because this is the Holy Nin of Purim. And I'm going to run something past you very, very quickly. Please forgive me. I have a PTA at 9:30. So we'll just... I gotta get moving here. I promised my wife I would try. That's what PTA stands for. Promise to attempt. But I don't know if I'll do it. But putting the brings in the pocket, you look. The 34th Maimer, the 34th Inyan of Purim. You have a pocket, you should look. 34th Inyan of Purim. Moshe. There are two people who were told, who were commanded, that they're going to have to recognize certain people in the night. They're going to have to be able to identify certain people in the night. And they have to make sure to get a hold of who these people are, so they'll be able to identify them in the night, later on. So Rav Hudna says one of them has a candle.
One of them lights a candle and he looks at the face of the person. The second person in this other place didn't have a candle. So he taught himself, he asked the person in the dark to speak. And he taught himself to recognize what Putna says, the voice of the second person. So it comes out that as far as clarity is concerned, you can't compare the two. The one that saw the face of the guy with the candle, Amish saw it. He saw it with his eyes. It's clear. He knows what the guy looks like. But there's an advantage that the second fellow has, the one who never saw the person but just heard. There's an advantage. What's the advantage? The first one once the sun rises and he's able to see the face, openly and clearly, anybody can see the person. There's nothing new that he's achieved. There's nothing new that he's gained. But Putna says, but the one who has developed a new ability to within himself, to hear, and to detect, and to remember and recognize the sound that was in the night, and even when the sun rises, but Putna says, he still has that koach of shmiya that other people don't have. It's a new chush. It's a new sense that he's developed and he's picked up because of the night. But he didn't have a candle. He couldn't see. People who can't see, lo aleinu, God forbid, a person's blind in the sense of hearing is a chiddush. Then there's a new type of hearing. It's not the way that people who are able to see can hear. When a person is blind, God forbid, the hearing is a chiddush. It's a new type of a hearing, and it's a hearing that when God will bring back his sight, he'll still have that hearing. But for a person who's able to look with a candle in the night and the morning, who needs a candle? So Putna said there are two ways that the Jewish people recognize Hashem. There are two ways that we recognize Anochi Hashem Elokecha. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, we had the Beis HaMikdash, and we had all these great things. Then that's like a candle that's being held up and you see Hashem's face for a brief moment. That's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But then there's another Anochi. Anochi Aster Aster Panai Vayomahu. I will hide my face on that day in that Purim. Esther. Anochi Aster Aster Panai. Purim took place in the Golas. Purim took place at night in darkness after the destruction. After the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. But there'll come a time when the light of Mashiach will come back. When the light will be lit up again forever, the day. And it'll be day forever and ever with the light of Mashiach. But the emunah that the Jewish people acquired in the night, that's from Purim. Not from before. Yitzis Mitzrayim is luchtig. Yitzis Mitzrayim, the lights were on. Oh, there's Hashem. But then the lights went out. During the time when the lights are out, we learned how to listen. We learned how to listen. With the eyes closed, we learned how to believe in Hashem b'emunah pshuta. And that belief, that new koach of listening, that new koach of remembering, of believing, that can never ever be taken away. It's something new, it's a chiddush. Therefore you understand the teaching of Chazal that's brought in the Rambam. That kol ha'adam b'teilim chutz mipurim. That when Mashiach will come, all the yontems will become secondary. All the yontems will become like nothing in comparison to Purim. Purim. Shanam, as it says, Vizichram lo Yosef Mizaram, that the memory of Purim will never depart from the Jewish people. Because Purim is when we learned how to listen for Hashem in the night. Purim is when we learned to feel Hashem's presence in the desert without the cloud, without the fire, without the kruvim, without anything except a Jewish heart and a Jewish mind. And ears that can detect the presence of Hashem in the darkness. And mainly that's why Shalach Manis, that the post can bring down its mishloach monos ish l're'eyu. And the ikar ha-din, the post can bring down, the post can bring l'halach. The ikar ha-din, you're not supposed to give shloach monos in person. You're supposed to send what? A shaliyah. Give a yotze if you don't do it. But there are posts that say, the ikar ha-din, you're supposed to send it to a shaliyah. Why? Why is that? So maybe the reason is, maybe one of the reasons, is that all of our Judaism now is not coming directly from Hashem. It's a gift that we get through shlichim, through all kinds of funny places, but we don't feel Hashem standing in front of us at the door. So the inyan of Purim is mishloach manos ish, to believe that Hashem is the one that's sending you the gifts. even though you don't see him. But to believe it's from him, to believe that there's someone else that sent you through a shliach, all the gifts that you have, and whatever you have, whether it be in parnasa with children, whatever it is, it's all from the Rashi. I mean, merely you understand that I'm poor Mizdavke, Mitzvah to drink. Hi, Vinish Lavsumi Vipuria, Adelo Yodav and Arham Lavar, Adelo Yodav. But the whole Kim of Purim is to your belief, that your belief should carry you to a place, Adelo Yodav, till it's no longer necessary to understand and know, just to feel and believe. The highest Madrega is just, Adelo Yodav, you don't need to. Then Arham LeBaruch Mordechai, but that between Arham means terrible days and Baruch Mordechai means good days. Adol Yodah, you don't make a distinction. It's only Hashem is the messenger. Only Hashem. You don't need to. Then Arham LeBaruch Mordechai, it's all one thing. It's the same gematria. Arham LeBaruch Mordechai is the same gematria. It's the same match. The ugliness of Haman and the beauty of Mordechai, whatever happens to me in life, whether it's bad or whether it's good. It's all from the same Mishalayah, the same Rabbi Shalom who's sending. Everything in their lives is a gift, which we don't always know how to appreciate. But Mitz Hashem, we should learn how to appreciate Hashem's gifts, and we should learn how to listen to Him during these times, these last few couple of days before Gula, a couple of minutes, I hope, before Gula. We have much time, Mitz Hashem, now. Over the next few weeks, we have to talk about Purim, Mitz Hashem, to get ready to make the Achonis of Purim. So all of us should be Zoichim. She be zoichet to remember and to be remembered. She be zoichet, Mitzvah Shem, to see once again the Kruvim, the Aron, the Eish, and the Anan, the Vias Mashiach, the Kain of Mahim Yamein, Amen, Amen.